Bibles this morning, Acts chapter 28. Acts chapter 28. Miss Myra, I caught Jesse out here at over Mr. Jim's grave there on one day. Thursday maybe. But we got to recount some times past and some stories. And man, it's such a great time. And yeah, just think about this time of year, especially. I know it's a special time to get with family, and man, just so appreciate our time, a little time we had out there this week. Man, that was really good. I wanted to mention too, Pastor John Mark said it, but one of the things that is a spiritual marker I know for our home is coming here every Thanksgiving and coming and praying with the family. And then the doors are open here. If you get a chance, I know people go different places, but for, it's a special time. It's a special time each Thanksgiving. You can bring your family in, and like I say, for me, it's a spiritual marker, just a time where you can kind of reflect on the year and what God has done for you. So I'd encourage you, man, it's just such a good thing for families to do on Thanksgiving. Acts chapter 28. Acts 28, we'll read verse 24. And it says this, "And some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not." Let's pray. God, we thank you, Lord, for all that you've done. We thank you, Lord, for another beautiful day you've given us, Lord. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the life that you've given us, Lord, and the health you've given us, one, but then, Lord, life in Christ. And God, as we come into this Thanksgiving season, Lord, we should be overwhelmed by what you've done for us. Lord God, as we look into your word and we see all that you did, Lord, I was reading this morning, Lord, he loved us until the, he's talking about the disciples, he loved them until the end. And Lord God, he saw, Lord God, what was coming in the cross of Christ, the shed blood and the separation from the Father, but he still loved us through to the end of that, Lord God. And I so thank you, Lord, us, Lord, that don't deserve your love. But yet, Lord God, you love us more than we could ever understand, more than we could ever appreciate. And God, we thank you for that in this Thanksgiving season, Lord. I pray that, Lord, we would reflect on that. Lord, we would see ourselves in our pitiful state, Lord God, and nothing we can do for us in our sin. And Lord God, you came, foreordained before the beginning of time, you came and died on a cross and shed your blood for us. Lord, if we lose that thankfulness of salvation, Lord God, we're not going to be driven by anything else. So we must be driven by what you did for us on the cross. And Lord, that drives us to tell others. Lord, that drives us to come to a place here where we can all assemble together and worship Jesus Christ. You don't find that anywhere else during the week, but here in church, Lord God. I pray that you be with us, Lord. Be with the sermon to come, Lord God. May, Lord, you be pleased with what goes on here today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Good. Thank you, Brother Jason. And appreciate him filling in for us Wednesday night. And got a good report on that. I know he wasn't feeling great. I appreciate him taking care of that. And for all this take care of stuff this week for us, man, appreciate the music as always this morning. And the choir. And then Ms. Ann, Ms. Ellen on the special. And Mrs. Hayes on the offertory. And great to see Brent and Kayla in here and the family and that newest addition, man. And so excited. They found out when I was going to be out of town, said, we're going to come then. And so anyway, you still stayed around. So I appreciate that. Great to have them in. Where y'all heading out tomorrow or Tuesday? Okay, so great to have them around for a while this week. And so, man, appreciate them and the ministry there up in Michigan. And anyway, so glad to have them with us this morning. Acts chapter number 28, Acts chapter 28. And I'm going to give you a little background here. In fact, before we get into the message this morning, before we get into the scripture, I was thinking about this week, and just as I read through the scripture, you'll see where we get, in fact, the verse we read, some believed, some did not. But October 27th, 1964, so almost 60 years ago, there was a speech given by Ronald Reagan, and I was not alive to hear it, but it's called A Time for Choosing, A Time for Choosing. And in fact, that the speech has sort of elevated Ronald Reagan to the status where eventually, of course, he would become in my lifetime, I think the greatest president of the United States, and he gave a speech, and really it was it's called A Time for Choosing, as he talked about what he used to be. For a long time of his life, had been a Democrat, and now he was supporting, at that time, was supporting Barry Goldwater, and gave a speech for that. But several interesting quotes from that speech. Of course, he said this. It's not that our liberal friends are ignorant. It's just that they know so many things that aren't so. And so was one of his. Another one was this. He said, a government bureau is the nearest thing to eternal life we'll ever see on earth, all right? Once you get one, once the government gets in, they're not leaving. He said this. He said, you and I are told increasingly that we have to choose between the left or right. Well, I like to suggest there's no such thing as left or right. There's only up or down. Up, the man's age-old dream, the ultimate in individual freedom, or down, to the ant heap of totalitarianism. Of course, he gave the speech right during the middle of the Cold War. And the speech was time for choosing, to choose which direction you're going to go. This morning, I want to talk about a time for choosing spiritually for us, a time for choosing. As we get to this passage in Acts chapter 28, look at verse number, let's go back to verse number 17. We touched on this a little bit last week. It says, and it came to pass that after 3 days, Paul called the chief of the Jews together. So we talked about this last week. He brings the Jews together, and they come, and he gives them sort of the reason why he's there. In verse number 20, for this cause, therefore, have I called for you to see you, to speak with you. We talked this last week. For the hope of Israel, I am bound with this chain. Verse 20, when they said to them, we neither received letters out of Judea concerning thee, neither any of the brethren that came, showed, or spake any harm of thee, but we desire to hear of thee what thou thinkest. For as concerning this sect, we know that everywhere it is spoken against. And so they say, we want to hear what's going on. And so they're interested in what Paul has to say. Paul, of course, you think about all he's gone through to get to Rome, and now he's finally here. So look what happens here in verse number 23, the first thing we have. And when they had appointed him a day. So we have, first of all, an appointed time where Paul can give them the truth. And so Paul, again, these are the Jews. These are those that are in Rome. They're Jewish. Paul has an opportunity now to explain to them what Jesus Christ has done. And so we have an appointed time. We start with that. And Paul uses both his expertise and his experience. Look at verse number 23. And when they appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging. So they come there. We know that Paul was chained to a soldier. They come to see Paul. They come and gather together. And Paul's given a certain amount of freedom to speak here. And so they come. They surround him there in verse number 23. To whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God. So first we have Paul taking time to expound, to explain, and testify the kingdom of God. You think as these people listened and they heard Paul, is there any outside of Jesus Christ in the New Testament, any greater teacher of the doctrines of the Word of God than Paul was, right? Paul wrote about many of these things, and he began to explain to them what the Bible said in the Old Testament, how that tied in to what was happening in the New Testament age. And so he explains that, explains who Jesus was, all about Jesus. He begins to talk about that and explain that, begins to testify of what he's seen, of the churches that were started, the people that were saved, of the miracles that have taken place. And so Paul begins to share with this group of Jews, explains and testifies the kingdom of God. And then look at the focus of Paul in verse number 23. It says he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus. Now you know what the focus of everything Paul said, it wasn't himself, right? It was Jesus. And so Paul begins to go through Jesus. And he talks with them and explains to the Jewish people. Obviously, they would know who Jesus was, but begins to take the Word of God. In fact, as you see there, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets. So he goes through the Word of God that they have, Moses and the prophets. And then look how it says there, it says from the end of the verse, from morning till evening. So Paul doesn't rush through this, right? Paul takes his time and goes to the Jewish people that have gathered there, and a good crowd that's gathered there together to hear the truth. And Paul gives them the truth, as Paul always does, right? Paul gives them the truth,
of the Word of God, and he focuses on Jesus Christ. It reminds me, hold your place there. Go to Luke chapter 24. As you read that passage, you think about, of course, the verse in Acts chapter 8. Brother Jason was talking about in chapel this week as Philip preached unto the Ethiopian eunuch Jesus. If you look at Luke chapter 24 and the two that were on the road to Emmaus and they encounter Jesus. In verse 25, Jesus speaks to them in Luke 24. Then he said to them, Luke chapter 24, verse 25, then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things, that to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. You think about Jesus there in Luke 24, as he takes the scriptures, right, Moses and the prophets, and he takes them out of those scriptures, he pulls out Jesus. And Paul, as he goes through Moses and the prophets and goes through the Old Testament, and I imagine Paul, and he took longer than this, and you probably heard this before, but as he goes through the Old Testament, it says in Genesis that Jesus is the ram at Abraham's altar. In Exodus, Jesus is the Passover lamb. In Leviticus, Jesus is the high priest. In Numbers, he's the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. In Deuteronomy, he's the city of our refuge. In Joshua, he's the scarlet thread out of Rahab's window. In Judges, he is our judge. In Ruth, he's our kinsman redeemer. In 1 and 2 Samuel, he's our trusted prophet. In Kings and Chronicles, he's our reigning king. In Ezra, he's our faithful scribe. In Nehemiah, he's the rebuilder of everything that is broken. In Esther, he's the Mordecai sitting faithful at the gate. In Job, he's our redeemer that ever lives. In Psalms, he's my shepherd, I shall not want. In Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, he's our wisdom. In the Song of Solomon, he's the beautiful bridegroom. In Isaiah, he's the suffering prophet. In Jeremiah and Lamentations, he's the weeping prophet. In Ezekiel, he's the wonderful four-faced man. In Daniel, he's the fourth man in the midst of that fiery furnace. In Hosea, he's my love that's forever faithful. In Joel, he's the baptizer of the Holy Spirit. In Amos, he's our burden bearer. In Obadiah, he's our Savior. In Jonah, he's the great missionary that takes the Word of God to the world. In Micah, he's the messenger with beautiful feet. In Nahum, he's the avenger. In Habakkuk, he's the watchman ever praying for revival. In Zephaniah, he's the Lord mighty to serve. In Haggai, he's the restore of our lost heritage. In Zechariah, he's our fountain. In Malachi, he's the son of righteousness with healing in his wings. And Paul goes to the Old Testament, says, hey, that's Jesus. That's who he is. Can you imagine as Paul does that to these Jews and he takes from morning till evening and said, this is who Jesus is. And he goes through all that. And you think about Paul as he goes through and what has happened from the time that he left Jerusalem to Antioch and now at Rome, the missionary journeys, and he tells the Jews, let me tell you something, lives have been changed. Hey, people's lives have been changed. Churches have been started. Man, God's doing something. Miracles have taken place. Man, Paul's excited about what God's done. But we go from a appointed time for them to hear to verse 24 we started. And we have an apathetic response. Verse 24. And some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. You know, Paul had pointed to this time at Rome, and we know that there were those that were saved, and we're excited about those that were saved. And we don't want to focus just on the negative. Man, there were those that believed. And we talked about last week, those even in Caesar's palace there, those that guarded him, there were those that believed. But Paul here is giving the truth to the Jews, God's chosen people, to the ones that Jesus Christ came for first. The Bible says, and some believe the things which are spoken, and some believe not. Verse 25, and when they agreed not among themselves, they departed. And Paul's put everything into this, and he gives them, and he goes through the scripture, and he explains to them and testifies, and just over and over again says, this is the truth. What happens? Some of them believe, yes, and we're excited about that, but some don't. You know, what that teaches us this morning is this. We have a responsibility to give the gospel to others, and they have to make a decision. You ever talk to somebody, and you told them, hey, Jesus Christ died on the cross to give you eternal life. Yeah, I don't know that I want that right now. What? What are you talking about? I mean, we're talking about eternal life, eternity in heaven or eternity in hell, a time for choosing. Which one are you going to choose? Yeah, I'm not sure I really want to do that right now. And you walk away with it. What? What is more important than that? Yeah, there's some things I'm still working through and I got to take care of. But we're talking about eternal life through Jesus Christ. And Paul gives them the truth of the gospel. And you maybe experienced that with your family, right? And you're trying to witness to your family. Maybe when you first got saved, you're so excited about it. That works for you. But, you know, for me, I'm fine. Fine where I'm at. Man, to walk away from the truth of eternal life? And yet, Paul gives them the gospel. Could we do a greater job than Paul? Paul expounds and he testifies and he gives them the truth. In fact, not only do some not believe, the Bible tells us there, they couldn't agree among themselves in verse number 25. And so they leave. And imagine Paul there as he thinks, man, I came all the way to Rome to share this with these people. And they're walking away from it. And they're leaving it. And so he gives, with his appointed time to hear and this apathetic response we have from those Jews that are gathered there together, tells in verse 25, when they agreed not among themselves, they departed after that Paul had spoken one word. Paul says, let me just say something. Let me just say something here. Before you leave, I want to give you something. And of course, he goes to the Old Testament and quotes from the Old Testament from the book of Isaiah and gives them some truth from the Word of God. And look what he says in verse 25. After that, Paul had spoken one word, well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers. And of course, what it reminds us is Paul speaking here in the New Testament. It reminds us, of course, 2 Peter chapter 1, holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. He says, hey, this is not just Isaiah writing. This is the Holy Ghost, right? Speaking through Isaiah. This is the Holy Spirit as he gave Isaiah these words and words that Jesus had quoted as well. But Paul says, let me give you something this morning. Here's the trouble. And I want us to look at our own selves this morning and see if this is not true of us as well. It says, saying, go unto this people and saying, hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. He says, let me tell you what the problem is. Number one, this, your ears are dull of hearing. They could not hear with ears. Go to James chapter 1. Go to James chapter 1. It says, your ears are dull. Hey, you know what? If we're not careful, even those that are saved, our ears can get dull to the things of God. It says your ears are dull. Doesn't mean they don't hear. Doesn't mean they can't hear at all. In fact, it tells us there in verse 26, hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand. The problem is the dullness is there in their hearing. They've gotten used to the things of God. Go to James chapter 1, verse 22. Very familiar. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. You get dull in your hearing, you deceive yourself. Hey, you're hearing it, but you're not doing anything about it. For if any, verse 23, be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he behold himself, goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. You walk out of church this Sunday morning forgetting what manner of man you are. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty continueth in, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. He says, here's your problem. You're dull of hearing. Doesn't mean you don't hear anymore. You don't understand. You hear it and you hear it and you hear it. No change. Nothing different. Back to Acts chapter 28. Not only is the problem with your hearing, there's a problem with your vision. And their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes. In verse 26, and seeing ye shall see and not perceive. Go to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. the church age we're in today, the Laodicean church age. Here's the problem with many churches and many members in churches today, and many even leadership in churches today. Revelation chapter 3 and verse number 15. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. It's amazing, right? This is not the message, but that God says, I wish you were cold or hot. What I don't want, verse 16, so then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Jesus said, God said, it makes me sick because you're just sort of comfortable. Verse 17, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy me gold and trod in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, so thou mayest be clothed, that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. What's the problem? Hey, they see, they don't perceive, they don't understand. Paul says, here's your problem. Your ears are dull of hearing. Your eyes, you're looking, but you're not understanding what you're seeing. Back to Acts chapter 28. Verse number 27 says your problem is an ear problem, it's an eye problem. And then ultimately, verse 27, it's a heart problem. For the heart of this people is wax gross. So the heart of the people is waxed gross, end of verse 27. And they can't understand with their heart. A heart that does not understand. Go to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. Verse number 11. Of whom we have many things to say, Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11, and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and it becomes such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. You know the problem? They're not in the word of God. They're not seeing and hearing the things from God's word, for he is a babe. Verse 13, verse 14, but strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. You know why you can't discern good and evil? Because you're not in the word of God. Because you're dull of hearing. Because you can't see, because your heart can't understand, and you've been told and told and told and told. And Paul says, let me give you this word before you leave. I've given you the truth of the Word of God. I've given you what happened. He testified about what God had done in his life, what God had done, I'm sure, as Paul always did, recounted his salvation experience and what God had done in all those lands that they had gone to, how God had changed those people he dealt with. And he gives them this truth and goes to the Word of God and explains it to them. They walk away from it. Hey, this morning, there's a time for choosing. A time for choosing. What does Paul say here in Acts chapter 28, verse 27? The heart of the people is waxed gross, their ears are dull of hearing, their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart. He says they don't want to see, they don't want to hear, they don't want to understand. Why? And should be converted, and I should heal them. You know, God wants us to get saved. God wants to heal us, all right? God doesn't want us to live a life away from Him. He doesn't want to live a life where that fellowship is broken, and so He wants us to get saved, and once we're saved, He wants us to live righteously for Him. You know, maybe the reason we're not living right for God is because we've become dull in our hearing, and we don't understand what the Word of God is telling us. Hey, the Word of God teaches against sin, right? Those things we know that we're doing wrong should change those things and do those things that are right. And yet, time after time after time, as we hear the Word of God preached, we walk away from a service like this morning, we go out the door, same. No different. Paul says, as you gathered together, you come to hear, and I gave you what you're supposed to do. I gave you the truth. But the problem is, you're dull of hearing. You can't see and understand. Your heart is not open to the healing of God. Verse 28, be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. And when he had said these words, the Jews departed and had great reasoning among themselves. Hey, they're still disputing among themselves. They still leave, but they leave lost. Now, some of them trusted Christ, and that's great. But so many of them, and I know Paul, it says, you catch this, and we don't go to Scripture. But Paul later on writes about his love for the Jewish people. He says, I would give myself my own salvation, really. It's hard for us to imagine that, for the Jewish people. And his love for the Jewish people, and yet they walk away. They walk away from what they've heard. I was counting this morning. And by the way, this took me a while, okay? But I counted all the way up to 43, right? So I had to use all my fingers and toes and borrow a few of those. But this is the 43rd message that I've preached this year on the book of Acts. Starting in Acts chapter 1 on the first Sunday of this year. And this is, and we missed a couple Sundays, I was gone, and then we missed a couple for special days or whatever. But this is the 43rd message from the book of Acts. We have gone through Acts chapter 1 all the way through Acts chapter 28. And we talked about all that went on in the book of Acts. And I think about those things in the book of Acts and people getting saved. And trust, I mean, everybody from Acts chapter 2 where 3,000 come and get saved, to the Philippian jailer, to the Ethiopian eunuch, to Lydia, to all those we talked about that trusted Jesus. And I said, can you imagine somebody sitting there listening to sermon after sermon and still not get saved after hearing all that? Talked about getting baptized, and those who were baptized, those that joined the church, those that began to live for God, and God changed their life. And somebody would hear message after message after message after message and still not do anything different. Paul says, I've given you the truth. And yet the problem is, you're dull of hearing. Your eyes can't really see. Your heart can't understand. So there's no change that's taking place. Let me ask you this morning, what would it take? What would it take to change? If you're not saved this morning, what would it take for you to walk down an aisle and trust Jesus Christ as your Savior? That's eternal life. I just can't imagine somebody hearing that. And you give them the truth. But listen, if you... can't imagine somebody going through the whole book of Acts and saying, boy, I don't worry about baptism or joining the church. Hey, imagine somebody hearing all 43 messages this year. And look, I'm not upset. I'm saying all four, and you haven't given out one track all year. When you see the need to witness to those around you, I mean, message after message after message, Paul looks around. He sees those that they've come. We want to hear, we want to hear, we want to hear. They walk away. They walk away. Hey, this morning, a time for choosing. This year, we're heading, right? We're already Thanksgiving. This year, as you've heard the preaching of the Word of God, as you've, in your own, maybe your own Bible study, in your own, whatever, boy, as you go through the book of Acts and see those who are saved and baptized and begin to come to church, I saw in the last couple weeks. I drove by a church and they had, I can't remember the time it was on there, but it said grief hour, basically. Basically, a time where they would get together and sort of help with those that are grieving. And listen, I'm not, that's fine as churches choose to do that. Let me tell you this. As churches have, they have, you know, this time where we can get together and we can, those that are going through this issue, right? Maybe those that have gone through divorce and they can sort of get together at this time, and those that have gone through, this grief that they're dealing with, or those that need help, in a child. Let me tell you when the help for those, go ahead and if you're having difficulty with those things, and again, I'm not downplaying this at all. You're having difficulty with something, you let me know and we'll try to be a help to you. But let me tell you, Let me give you some appointments here to help you with all those areas. Sunday morning, 11 o'clock. Sunday night, 6 o'clock. Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. That's when our grief hour is. That's when our help for those who are hurting is. That's when our help for those who are dealing with this issue. Now, I'm not against the individual counseling. That's fine. You need some help with that, and we'll try to help you from the Word of God. And we'll do that and try to do that in the right way. But I tell you this, more than anything else, what you need is to be in the house of God and hear it 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 and help you with this problem and the whole counsel of the Word of God. That's what you need. That's what you need. And these people, as they listen to the book of Acts and listen to Paul teach, and as we've gone through the book of Acts and over and over and over again, I think about this morning, as you hear the preaching of the Word of God week by week by week, have you learned anything? And that's a little dangerous question to ask when I'm the one doing the preaching. All right, you may not have, all right? But have you changed anything? Have you changed anything? As you've heard, as we've gone through the book of Acts, has there been anything that's changed in your life? Let me tell you, if you're not saved this morning, man, don't put it off. Don't put it off. Don't put it off. You've heard and you've heard and you've heard. It's a time for choosing. If you're saved this morning, hey, when are you? Well, pretty soon I'm going to change. No. It's time for choosing. Today. Let's change that today. Let's make that decision today. Father, thank you for the truth of the Bible. And Lord, as we see this instance here, as Paul is, Lord, giving his heart and his soul to the ministry of reaching those, and so badly wants to reach his people, so badly wants to reach the Jewish people. And Lord, it's something he realizes that all of us realize that, and Lord, we thank you for this because we don't want it any different. Lord, you don't force us, you don't make us follow you. Lord, we have a free will to choose. That's why we can talk about a time for choosing, because we choose. We choose. And Lord, we pray this morning that you'd help. Lord, start with me. Help my heart to be open to understanding. Lord, I don't want my heart and my ears and my eyes to become dull and become desensitized by the world around me. Lord, help our heart to be open to what you'd have us to do. And Lord, I pray that you convict hearts this morning. Lord, I pray, start with those whose hearts have never trusted you as their Savior. Lord, convict them this morning. Help them not to walk away as these did in chapter 28 and walk away and reason among themselves. Lord, help them to come forward this morning and trust you. Lord, those that are saved. Oh, Lord, I don't know. I don't know what it is for each person. Lord, you know that. But help us to look at our hearts as we hear and we listen and we come under your word. Lord, help us to see what needs to be different in our lives. Lord, it could be some sin we need to get rid of. Something we need to change that we know is wrong. We need to get rid of it. Could be something we need to do. Maybe we're not being the witness we should be. Maybe we're, Lord, not taking a stand for you the way we should. And Lord, we've been putting off. But we know we need to start doing that. Lord, help us this week, today, to make that decision. And Lord, to grow, not to be, as we read in Hebrews chapter 5, those that are still needing to be fed as a child, as a babe. Lord, but those who have their senses exercised to discern through the Word of God. I pray that be true of our crowd. To thank you, Lord, for this group of people that have decided to be in the house of God. And Lord, help us to take what you've given us and use it this week in Jesus' name. Amen. If everybody's standing with head bowed and eyes closed and nobody looking around, let me ask you this morning, we talked about it, a time for choosing. Has there been a time where you chose Jesus Christ as your Savior, and the reason you know you're on your way to heaven this morning is because Jesus Christ paid for your sins and you've accepted Him as your Savior? If you say, listen, I'm not doing everything right, I'm not perfect, but I can tell you this, I chose, there was a day and a time where I chose Jesus Christ as my Savior, I know I'm on my way to heaven. If you put your hand up like I'm doing right now and say, I know I'm saved, put your hand right back down. If you're here this morning, you say this. You say, I'm just not sure about my salvation. I've heard preaching on it before. I've heard teaching on it before. Maybe I haven't. Maybe I haven't heard much about it, but I don't know for sure. I hope I go to heaven. I'd like to, but I can't say I know for sure. If you're like that this morning, I want you, I'm not going to embarrass you. I promise you that, but I want you to be honest before God. And you just slip your hand up and say this morning, say, pray for me. I'm just not sure. Just not sure about my salvation. Pray for me this morning. time for choosing. Don't walk away. Don't walk away from the gospel. And if you're saved this morning, how about it? How about it? Is there some area in your life? I don't know what it is. It could be something I mentioned, maybe something I did. I don't know. But some area in your life, and you say, man, I know I need to do this, or I know I need to get rid of this, or I know I need to change this, but I haven't. I know I need to. This morning, the Lord spoke to me. I hope He did. I hope He did this morning. As He speaks to you this morning about what He wants you to do. Lord, not something, oh, no, not because of this person, that, no, but what God wants you to do, that God's working on your heart this morning, a time for choosing to do what God would have you to do. Let God work on your heart this morning. As the music plays, you come forward as the Lord spoke to you.
Great to have you here on this Sunday morning. And man, have a great Thanksgiving. Be back tonight, 6 o'clock, Wednesday night, 7 o'clock for the service. But I hope you enjoy your Thanksgiving. And man, have a great time with family. Those who be traveling, be praying for your safety. And looking forward to what God has for us this week. Brother Brent, always great to have you all in. Why don't you close and pray for us?